live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Happy Friday, or as I like to say, Fri-yay, on this April 2, 2018, better known as 420. We'll get to 420 in just a moment, but welcome to the show. We've got a great hour in store for you all to close out the week here on WKAR's Current Sports. WKAR AM 870 105 1 FM. On today's Current Sports, our guest for today is a man who has not been on our show for quite some time, but it is certainly fitting to get him on due to some breaking news that occurred earlier this month. News that shocked the local sporting world. For those of you who cover or follow, I should say, local high school sports, you know the name Nick Archer very, very well. Nick, such a great dude who has been a pioneer for the sport of soccer in mid-Michigan for quite some time. He is the longtime head coach of the East Lansing boys soccer program, actually taking over that program. I should say establishing that program in the late 70s, 1977 to be exact, and he has been the coach since that time. Well, I guess not anymore, right? Because he has announced his retirement. How about that? Long time, legendary East Lansing boys soccer head coach Nick Archer calling it a career after 41 seasons. Nick will join me in just a moment to address why he decided to come to this conclusion that this was it, that he wanted to spend more time with his family and walk away from the sidelines. He'll tell us how he told his players, what the reaction from the community has been like, and he'll reminisce about some of his favorite memories throughout his 41-season career. Quite remarkable. Looking forward to that. We will also talk about the Detroit Lions schedule release. Ah, the NFL, they are very clever, aren't they? And you guys just eat it up like it's free barbecue. I tell you what, you can't tell anything when it comes to the early schedule release. Heck, we still haven't even hit the draft. We're 6 days away from the NFL draft, but we still haven't even had the draft. Yet I'm reading different predictions on every team in the NFL about what their record's going to be, who has the toughest schedule for the upcoming season. You don't know. You're just throwing stuff at the wall and hoping that it sticks. Well, we'll do a little of that on Current Sports. I guess we'll be guilty of it today. We'll talk about the Detroit Lions schedule release. We'll dive into the Honolulu Blue. You don't want to miss that. And then on the back end of the show, we'll talk some NBA playoffs. And, you know, I have a cool Reflection Friday discussing one of my favorite hip-hop artists who broke, well, I should say released, his album at midnight and broke the silence. It's a great album. A great album. I'll put that album in perspective and address why I think it is one of the best pieces of hip-hop art that I've heard since maybe Kendrick Lamar's Damn album. So we'll dive into that. I listened to it two times, front to back, back to front. Fantastic album from J. Cole. So that and so much more. If you would like to be a part of our airwaves throughout this Friday hour, you know there are multiple ways in which you can do so. Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Catch the live stream there. Comment below the video. You can also even tweet us. Two ways to do so. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Start with Michigan State University responding to the NCAA probe into the Larry Nassar case. Michigan State University has issued its response to an NC2A investigation into the athletic department's role in the Larry Nassar sexual abuse case and filled a key position representing the athletic department with the college sports governing body with two professors. A university spokeswoman confirmed MSU sent its response to the NCAA on March 22nd after receiving a letter of inquiry from Oliver F. Luck, the NCAA's executive vice president of regulatory affairs and strategic partnerships, on January 23rd. MSU did not issue any details about its response. The NCAA did not immediately respond to whether it received the information or what its timetable is for reviewing materials sent by the university. The January letter from Luck to Mark Hollis, former Michigan State University athletic director, cited two NCAA bylaws on, quote, the commitment to student athlete well-being, end quote, and health and safety. Luck wrote to Hollis that MSU has not sent the NCAA any information regarding the Nassar case since it was revealed in September of 2016. We'll continue to follow the ongoings here at MSU, and just troubling news concerning former Michigan State football player Austin Robertson. He is awaiting trial on sexual assault charges and had his bond in Ingham County revoked yesterday due to an alleged robbery in Kansas. I kid you not. This is a young man who, again, is awaiting trial on sexual assault. Gets arrested for an alleged robbery in Kansas. I'm just going to keep it real. How stupid can you be? He was arrested Tuesday by Garden City, Kansas police on suspicion of four charges: aggravated robbery with a dangerous weapon, conspiracy to commit robbery, distribution of marijuana, and interfering with law enforcement officers. That's coming from Ingham County Assistant Prosecutor Nicole Matsuko. That's what she said during a bond hearing yesterday in Ingham County Circuit Court. Judge Clinton Kennedy III last summer agreed to modify Robertson's bond so he could move from Ohio to attend school to play football in Kansas. He was required to wear a GPS tether as part of Kennedy's conditions. Yesterday, Kennedy revoked Robertson's bond, his bond in the local case. Robertson is currently being held on a $300,000 bond in Kansas and is expected to be formally charged there next week. Robertson's trial had been scheduled to begin in May. It's unclear whether his Kansas case will affect the start date, but I just don't get it sometimes. You're about to go to trial on sexual assault. You would think you would be on your best behavior, right? You would think that robbery, distribution of marijuana, would be like on the bottom barrel of that list of things to do, right? My goodness, Austin Robertson, you just threw away whatever future you did have left. Michigan and Michigan State basketball fans won't have to wait until the postseason next year to watch their teams play twice. The Spartans and Wolverines will each visit each other's arena during the 2018-19 season as part of the Big Ten's new 20-game schedule. The conference released one- and two-play matchups on Thursday afternoon, but no dates and times
Three in-state rivals, MSU, Michigan, Illinois, Northwestern, and Indiana Purdue, are now guaranteed to play each other twice with the expanded conference schedule, which begins this fall. Love this. MSU, which won the outright Big Ten regular season championship, will face U of M, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, Ohio State, Purdue, and Rutgers, both home and away, next season. The Spartans get Maryland, Minnesota, Northwestern at Breslin Center only, and will travel to Illinois, Penn State, and Wisconsin for their lone meetings between the teams. Individual tickets and family game packs for Michigan's 2018 football season go on sale in June. Michigan announced individual ticket prices yesterday for each of its seven upcoming home games for the 2018 campaign. The most expensive games will be Wisconsin on October 13th, Penn State on November 3rd. As both games are priced the same, end zone seats will cost a little over $100, $105 to be exact. Maize and blue seats will be $125, and Victor's Valiant seats will run $145. The ticket prices for the remainder of the games, Western Michigan, September 8th, $65, $75, and $90. SMU on September 15th, $55, $65, and $75. Nebraska on September 22nd, $80, $95, and $110. Maryland, that will be October 6th, which is Michigan's homecoming, $75, $90, and $105. Indiana on November 17th, $65, $75, and $85. Michigan State baseball resumes Big Ten Conference action with a three-game series at Northwestern this weekend in Evanston, Illinois. The series opens today at 4:30 p.m. in a nationally televised game, which you can view on the Big Ten Network. Tomorrow's second game is slated for a 3 p.m. start time, with Sunday's series finale beginning at 2. The Spartans are playing their first road game outside the state of Michigan since March 10th, when MSU played Illinois in Greenville, South Carolina, in the final game of the 2018 First Pitch Invitational. The Spartans have had two road games at Michigan, March 23rd and 25th, plus one at Western Michigan on Wednesday, sandwiched around an originally scheduled 12-game homestand that opened on March 28th against WMU, but became a 9-game homestand after three games were postponed or canceled by weather. But it's beautiful right now in Michigan, right? Those in mid-Michigan, get out and enjoy this, because who knows how long it's going to last. As it pertains to the Michigan softball team, a 3-game weekend series will take place at Ohio State in Columbus. First game today, 6 p.m. Saturday's game at 2 p.m. Sunday's will be a noon first pitch. As the Detroit Lions look to get back to the postseason after narrowly missing out one season ago, they now know the path they must take to get there. While it was already known Detroit will face the NFC West, the AFC East, the Carolina Panthers, and my Dallas Cowboys, the order was not known. The suspense ended yesterday as the NFL announced the schedules for all 32 teams. And I'm going to comb through the specifics of the schedule in segment B. So don't miss that. All right, keeping it pushing. The Detroit Tigers are riding high after a midweek 3-game sweep of the Baltimore Orioles. They'll look to carry that momentum in a 4-game homestand against the Kansas City Royals. The Detroit Tigers will use their regular lineup in game one of today's doubleheader against the Kansas City Royals, although manager Ron Gardenhire said he plans to empty the bench in game two. Michael Fulmer facing Jason Hamill in the opener. That began at 1:10 p.m., so 3 minutes ago. We will keep you updated on that score throughout this hour. Game two first pitch scheduled for 7:10 p.m. Daniel Norris will take the mound for the Tigers. Jacob Junis for the Royals. In the NBA, playoff action. Thursday recap. Joel Embiid poured in 23 points, 7 boards, and his return for the Philadelphia 76ers in a 128-108 victory against the Miami Heat last night. Philly leads that series 2-1. How about Anthony Davis? 28 points, 11 rebounds for him in a performance for the New Orleans Pelicans, who topped the Portland Trail Blazers 119-102 last night. New Orleans now leads that series 3-0. Former engineer Isaac Constance is riding high right now. I've been chatting him throughout the NBA playoffs, and he is going insane right now. And how about playoff Rondo playing very well for this team? Drew Holiday My goodness, just absolutely putting up the clamps on Damian Lillard right now. And also, the Golden State Warriors topped the San Antonio Spurs 110-97 last night. Golden State leads that series now 3-0. And as we noted on yesterday's Current Sports, due to the death of his wife, Erin, at 67 years old, Greg Popovich was not on the sidelines for the Spurs last night. Kevin Durant had 26 points, 9 rebounds to lead Golden State, but he did leave the game early with an ankle injury, but has said that he's fine and will play in Game 4. In the NHL, we saw the Bruins top the Maple Leafs 3-1 last night. And the Bruins actually lead that series now 3-1. And the Washington Capitals, they top the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-1 last night. That series is now tied. That is a fun series to watch. That series is tied at 2 apiece. That wraps up your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. If you would like to call in to be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Let's keep it moving. That's like a Bob Marley karaoke beat, courtesy of our very own Ian Hawley, current sports engineer behind the glass. And I think there's a reason why we're playing Bob Marley here on this day, Ian. It is April 20th, 2018. It's Earth Day, duh. Yeah, Earth Day. You know, we celebrate, you know, protecting our environment. Make sure you recycle today. You know, that's very, very important. Maybe eat some veggies today, right? But it's also like an unofficial holiday for those who partake in something else that's grown right here on planet Earth, that being marijuana. And there's many stories. I've read a few stories actually on NPR talking about the unofficial holiday and how far back it dates. And it's no secret in that, you know, Bob Marley, you know, he's one of the poster boys for marijuana, I think, along with, like, you know, Snoop Dogg and many, many others. All right. So be safe out there, folks. All right, relax. You're probably already relaxed as you're listening to WKAR's Current Sports. We plan on elevating you throughout this hour. All right, we've got a great show in store. As I mentioned, we will dive into the Detroit Lions schedule release, as all teams in the National Football League now know what their schedule looks like for the upcoming season. People losing their minds and trying to pick apart the schedule and pick out which teams they will beat, which teams is going to be tough against. Will they make the playoffs? I'm seeing all these predictions out there. We'll go through the schedule for the Detroit Lions. I'll put a few things in perspective. We'll talk about the NFL draft briefly, and then we will also be talking about the NBA playoffs and the happenings there. So a lot to get to, but first I would like to welcome our guest for today's Current Sports. His name is Nick Archer. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, that's a name that is pretty big in the local high school sporting world here in mid-Michigan. He is a man who won national championships with Michigan State soccer teams back in 1967 and 1968. He was bitten by the coaching bug and started the East Lansing soccer program back in 1977. He's been coaching the Trojans up until earlier this month. How about that? It's certainly my pleasure now to welcome Nick Archer to WKAR's Current Sports. Nick, how are you doing, my friend?
Oh, so far so good, Al. Thank you.
Always good chatting with you. And, Nick, I'll get right to it. First of all, how and when did you reach the decision that this was the right time to step away from the sidelines?
Well, you know, you never know exactly when the right time is, but you think around and then you go over what's, you know, what you've been doing and the future, and you kind of take inventory. You talk with that most important person, you know, your wife, my wife Lynn, and I sat down, and then not until about Sunday, you know, I'm going to bite the bullet about a week or 2 weeks ago before I decided. And then before that, I was just kind of playing around with it, but. You know, there's always one more season. Well, sometimes you just got to say, well, there's not one more season. You just got to move on, do other things. I got a young family. My daughter has three great grandkids that are all busy and things. And I feel kind of left out, both of us, when we can't make an event that they got going on. So, And everything's good. You know, East Lansing's good. They got a great support staff. We got great kids in the program. We got school support. So everything's looking good for it. And it's time that someone else can come in and take the reins and run and see where it goes.
So, Nick, as you just stated, this is more so a family move, right?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, yeah, it's time when, you know, I still got pretty good health and you got time to see what a fall's like without going through the fall procedures of getting ready for a season.
Has the family been pushing you to say, you know, in these last maybe 5 years that, all right, Nick, when are you going to hang it up, man? You're missing some family events here. Is this the year? Have they been pushing you or encouraging you to do this as long as you would like?
No, they've been great. I tell you, they've been real supportive. Without them, you know, they wouldn't be able to do some of the things you do. So, no, we just enjoy being together and watching what they're doing and watching the kids grow. And it's just a thing that, you know, you look back on, you kind of think that'd be kind of nice to enjoy it a little bit more.
Without a doubt. Nick, what was the moment like when you told your players, when you told the team? When did that moment happen, and what was that like for you?
Oh, I think I took it probably harder than they did because, you know, I tried to explain it to them, but I guess I was a little vague about, well, you got to move on, new challenges and that type of thing. And I didn't know where I was going, I don't think.
Right.
I think one of my assistant coaches, Jeff Lyon, says, hey, guys, he's retiring.
Oh, so they didn't know when you started telling them that.
We called a meeting. They just thought it was a spring meeting. You know, we have a spring meeting. It's so early. And so we kind of, you know, hit him there, and that was it. So. It's always hard when you tell the people who've been involved in the program. You had to tell my coaches, I had to tell the AD, Tom Hunt, and my assistant coaches, so Henry Rojas, Jeff Lyon, and John Bazanis, and Zach Kerr. You know, guys that I've worked with for a number of years, and you know, they're the backbone of the program. So, yeah, it's not easy. You know, there's going to be a new dawn. So,
definitely, and that's life. You know, like you said, I mean. There's different chapters to this journey we call life, Nick. And I tell you what, your chapter as coach of the East Lansing soccer program is one that will be talked about for many, many years. And Nick, what's the reaction been like from the community? I mean, I'm sure many people have reached out to you and said congratulations, maybe former players, former coaches that used to coach under you. I mean, what's the reaction been like?
Well, you know, I don't do the Facebook scene, so Yeah, you know, I've walked around. Yeah, you know, my wife and I have lived in the community since 1972, so we, you know, pretty well entrenched. We've been involved in a lot of things. So when you walk around, you see people, they recognize that, hey, you know, good luck, you know, type of thing. And the emails that you get, the calls, that type of thing, it brings back a lot of good memories.
Right. I'm sure. And, you know, I want to talk about those memories in just a moment. But, you know, you look at, you know, you starting the East Lansing program back in the late 70s, Nick, 1977 to be exact. You've guided the Trojans to 5 state titles, 26 league championships, 19 district crowns, 15 regional titles. You compiled 660 wins, were inducted into the Michigan High School Soccer Coaches Association Hall of Fame back in 2013. I mean, Nick, when you started this program in the late 70s, did you feel like it would have this kind of sustainability that it has had in 40-plus years?
No. I didn't look forward too much. I just enjoyed the moment and the excitement of, you know, everyone playing the game for the first time and all the things that were going on. And we were starting to, you know, it wasn't a league, so we had to just travel around. And just the excitement of day in, day out, and the practices and being with the kids. And then you see where you're at, and you say, well, we can do a little better. We can do a little better. And then we just keep, you know, adding on. And the kids were great about it and bought into what we were trying to do. And pretty soon, you know, hey, that's cool. You know, our first season, we were 0-9, you know.
So wow.
We were traveling around the state playing, you know, schools like Cranbrook and some of the Catholic schools out in the Grand Rapids. You know, we were traveling around. We were always in the hunt, but just couldn't do it. And they said, Coach, let's play like they're playing. I says, no, we're going to do what we're doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they started buying into it. You know, we play a game early in the on, and the team wiped us by a couple goals. And this coach, why don't we just kick the ball up, and we'll all run at it, and maybe someone will pop it in the goal. I said, no. It's not the way the game is played, you know.
Right.
So we got down to triangle passing, you know, pass work, team movement, interchanging of positions type of stuff, and came back and took the same team on again and wiped them out. So the kids said, hey, it works. I said, yes, it does. Sometimes you're lucky.
It's about doing it the right way, Nick, right?
Right. That's about it. Everyone's got to buy in. The longer I've been in it, the more important it is that, you know, you have a team and you try to get things across to them, and they got to buy into it. They got to have ownership. But you tell you what, you know, your family's important, the administration's important, the parents are important. If everyone's firing on the same, same way, it makes it a lot easier, and it's more successful, I think. And I've been very fortunate here in East Lansing to have a good support group. So I was very lucky.
So about how long, you know, was that time period, you know, when you were trying to first get things started? You mentioned how you were 0-9 the first season. How long did it take until you guys started to see some really tangible success?
Oh, well, let's see. I guess if you look at tangible successes, more wins than losses.
Right.
That came around. We first of all got into the thick of things. We only had two losing seasons. So the kids kind of bought into it real quick. But in the early years, you know, there were a lot of things you had to, you know, you didn't know where you're going to go sometimes and what you're going to play as far as rules concerned. There are different rules wherever we went around. And I guess it threw me one time. One guy said, well, we're going to call a timeout. You can't call a timeout in soccer, okay? Even no matter what rules you play out, there are no timeouts in soccer. You can't do that.
Yeah. So they were just still trying to familiarize themselves with just the game, period. Totally.
Yeah, we have even familiarized some of the kids, you know, with the game in the beginning. Also, you know, they didn't quite understand what was going on, but you know, they had a basic knowledge of what to do, and we just kept building on that. But it was a trying time early on.
Now, Nick, I know that you started actually teaching the sport of soccer in gym classes back in the 70s, and you know, I want to know, how did that evolve into wanting to build and start a program?
Well, I guess I had a different take on it when I was hired in 1970. I probably taught soccer and the gym classes a little bit different than it was been taught before. So the kids really kind of enjoyed it. So we met after school, or we met on a Friday night where the gym, the middle school gym was open. There was nothing going on. And those kids moved on to the high school, and I said, Coach, there's nothing here. We want to keep playing. Okay, let's go. So we started our own little club. We found a sponsor. There was a procedure he had to go because they wanted to have a club, and they wanted, of course, we want to be a varsity sport. And I said, well, this is 1973, and you just don't pop in and say, hey, we want a varsity sport. We had to follow a procedure. You had to be first of all, I think an intramural, and then you had to be a club-sponsored activity, intramural-sponsored activity, then a club. And then if by chance, after about four presentations to the Board of Education, they got tired of this knocking on the door all the time. It's okay, okay.
Persistence paid off, right?
Yeah, 1977. Here, take your ball and go, you know?
Right. Well, that breakthrough has led to a legacy, a long-standing legacy, Nick. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are talking with now retired head coach of the East Lansing soccer program, Nick Archer. Nick, in what ways have you seen soccer grow here in America? And how would you peg these last 5 to 10 years? Would you peg these last 5 to 10 years as maybe the biggest period of growth you've seen within the game?
Yeah, you know, each year it's expanding. I think maybe it's kind of easing up a little bit on the number of teams playing at the high school level. But the kids are more knowledgeable now. They have more opportunity to play. There's better coaching, things that, you know, the kids that their parents now have once played. So they got a handle on what is you know, necessary to play. It's not so strange anymore. You know, you go anywhere around town or any place, and you'll see kids knocking the ball around. And the biggest thing is they have pickups. You know, they just have places where they can pick up. Down in Lansing, they have the field down there where they just whoever's there just kind of picks up and you play. And if you lose, you go off the court, and more players come on, and then you go to the schoolyards or soccer fields around, and you see the explosion of it. So, but yeah, it's a lot different than when it first started. More knowledgeable, more fan interest, more fan knowledge. Players are getting the opportunity to play at high levels, and there's just so many more people involved. So, yeah, it's up there now.
And do you think a lot of that, I guess, has to do with the way it's pubbed now? You know, the exposure it's getting, you know, nationally here in America, internationally, of course, big names. A lot of that has to do with the media, right?
Well, yeah, if it's not out there, no one knows what's going on, you know?
Right.
So yeah, they pick it up. I mean, you can turn on the TV every day and you'll see some sort of game being played. Now that never happened before. Then they broadcast a lot of the big international, the U.S. games and league games, professional soccer league. You have this Lansing United that is playing here locally, and then now the women are starting there. So it's out there, just like a, you know, it's almost like a big time sport. The attendance is up there. I think it's just about maybe the fourth or fifth fan base and numbers in attendance to professional sports. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of tough to, you know, beat the top three, the basketball, the baseball and football type of thing. But right there, right behind them is soccer. The kids are involved in it. And so, yeah, it's there.
Nick, before I get you out of here, when you replay the 41 season tape in your mind, is there a memory and moment that sticks out above the rest?
Oh, I don't know if there's just one that is tough. You know, you there's so many things you look back on. And, you know, the first time you enter a league, you know, your first league games where you're actually in a league and you're trying for a league championship, and the three different leagues that we were involved in, you know, we were in the Cross Trails early on, and then the CAC, then the CAAC, the Gold Cup that they introduced to the Lansing area here has always been exciting, and then of course your state tournament games, and then your first state championship is always special. There wasn't, I think, the state took up the game in 1982, where they would hold a state tournament. Before that, it was run by the coaches,
right?
And all the Detroit teams are always winning, you know, your Troy and your Stevenson and things. And I said, well, we want to make a name for ourselves, guys. We got to go down there. We got to take those teams on, and we got to come out ahead of them. So in 1986, we reached a semifinal. And in 1987, we won that first title, and it was the first team outside of Detroit to win it. So we said, okay, we're in the big league now. We play at the big boys.
Yeah, you've been hunting with the big dogs now, right? That was the moment for you guys.
Oh, yeah. And there's just so many little experiences. You know, we don't really talk about the wins sometimes. We talk about the experience. It's a journey to go on. Every year is a journey. And where you start and where you end up, you know, you want to work and you want to enjoy it and you want to make your mark. And what your mark is, you know, you don't know what that's going to be. That's what you're working for. This team is a prime example of that. This is a special team, my last fall's team. You know, they wanted to make the mark, and we've always talked about that. Was it a league title? Was it just a winning season? What is it, you know? Well, we couldn't win the league. We lost that one out. And then we said, well, we can go for the Gold Cup. Well, we lost that one. So, well, let's try to get the – let's go on the stage. You know, they never backed down. They just kept trying, kept working at it. And it was a rough year. You know, when you have about 9 losses, we didn't, it takes us a couple of years usually to get those, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids just held their head up high. We knew we could do better than what we're doing. We were unlucky. But they just worked hard, stayed together, and kept trying to do the best they could. And then we made a nice run in the state tournament. We were happy to get the district, and we were ecstatic to get a regional. And then to move on into the state final, we go, holy cow. You know, that's something else. That was special. And it took a special group of not only players but parent support to pull that off.
You talk about not giving up. And as you just stated, Nick, this year's team was a team that did not give up. You may not have won the league. You may not have won the Gold Cup. But, again, you guys finish state runner-up. What a run. I remember reading the headlines and my jaw kind of being on the ground. Like, okay, what has clicked for this team? My goodness, everything it seems in sync right now. And, you know, you look at that last year, I'm sure you're leaving the program in good hands and the future looks bright. Who now takes over the reins for you?
Well, that's to be determined. You know, that's we got some good people in the program. The position will be opened up, and I guess applicants will come in, and then you start doing. Hey, these guys, you know, earn his money.
Well, I'm sure you'll be a part of that process, right, Nick?
Well, yeah, I talked to Tom, and you know, gave him my opinion and that type of thing. So we'll see where it goes.
All right. Well, Nick, final question. How do you want to be remembered at East Lansing High School?
Well, I guess as someone who enjoyed what he's doing, was glad he had an opportunity to bring a new game to the system. And there's a lot of people still enjoying it and will continue to enjoy it.
Legacy lives on, right?
Well, we hope so.
For sure. All right. Well, Nick, we wish you the best on behalf of us all here at WKAR. We wish you the best in retirement. I'm sure we'll be talking with you in the near future, without a doubt, my man.
All right. We appreciate it, Alan. Thanks for the time on the program.
Nick Archer, former head coach of the East Lansing boys soccer program. All right. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk about the schedule release of the Detroit Lions. We'll take your calls if you would like to call in and chat about anything. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. He's just the nicest guy in the world. Much love to Nick Archer. And you can just hear, you know, every time I've interviewed Nick Archer, now former head coach of the East Lansing boys soccer program, he is just so humble. You know, doesn't want to take the credit. You could hear it in certain questions I ask him, you know, his accomplishments and memories that stick out. You know, he was a bit hesitant because he's humble. You know, he gives all the credit to his players and the coaches and the school. Love Nick. He will be missed without a doubt. And he will certainly, whenever we do talk soccer, the rare times that we do here on Current Sports, definitely going to have to bring Nick back at some point throughout the summer to get his perspective, especially as Jeremy Sampson's Lansing United soccer team hits the field very soon. Much thanks to Nick, and again, we wish him well in retirement. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you would like to weigh in here and let your voice be heard live on our airwaves. Also, I see many of you commenting, as you customarily do, on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. I don't know how this happened. I opened up a can of worms here, Ian. You know, as I mentioned, how 420 is not only Earth Day, now on 420 at midnight, not only did J. Cole drop his new album that everybody's going crazy over, but also it's like an unofficial holiday for those who partake in the herb, marijuana. And there's this huge debate now. I didn't mean to spark this debate. There's this huge debate right now happening at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News about medical marijuana now. So, yeah, we're not going there, but I don't know what I did. I'm sorry.
No, this is a sports show. We don't make those kind of comments.
No, here. That's politics. We don't dabble in politics, but our listeners can. It's a free country, right? And they're doing that below the live stream. Right now, let's go to line one right now. We do have a caller. It's our dear friend Mike from Saginaw. Mike, what's up?
What up, man? What up? What do you think about Kendrick Lamar getting the poster? Do you think he got it for his first three albums, or do you think he just got it for Damn? Good Kid, Mad City, or the Pimp the Butterfly, or Damn? Do you think he got the poster just for all of those three to combine, or just that one Damn? Right?
No, and it's so funny you bring this up, because Ian, actually, you were behind the glass engineering this yesterday, right?
Yes, sir.
I did a conversation with myself, news director Reginald Hardwick here at WKAR, as well as Professor, what's his first name? It's Gilmore. Professor Gilmore. What is Professor Gilmore's first name? I have to get his first. And you know what's so funny? Because I ran into Professor Gilmore late last night, because I go to the gym late at night, and I ran into him while I was working out last night. And yesterday was my first time meeting him. It was crazy. But anyway, I did a chat with Reginald and a professor here at Michigan State about Kendrick Lamar winning a Pulitzer for Damn. And for me, Reg, you know, I've made this known numerous times, and I've had this debate left and right. In my opinion, I think Damn is the greatest piece of hip-hop I have ever heard in my life. Now, I am a diehard Kendrick Lamar fan. I've listened to Overly Dedicated. I have listened to Section 80, Good Kid, Mad City, To Pimp a Butterfly. I've listened to everything he's put out, even when he was K-Dot and not Kendrick. And you know, I'm a hip hop head. I'm a lyricist guy. I can't listen to Lil Yachty and Lil Pump, and I can go on and on and on. Migos. I'm not fans of those guys because lyrically they don't do anything for me when I listen to their music. It's on the surface club hits. So I'm keeping that all in perspective. When I heard Damn, my first listen, you know what my opinion was? I said, no, this isn't better than To Pimp a Butterfly. This is not better than Good Kid, Mad City. I don't know if it's even better than Section 80. That is until I gave it a second, a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. I've listened to the album now. I think it's probably upwards of up to more than 50 times, and I kid you not, Mike, I'm not exaggerating. When you pick apart the lyrics and also the duality of the two CDs in one, it tells a different story. It's a book. It's a movie, if you will. If you listen to it 1 through 14, it tells a story of Kendrick growing up with his father. If you listen to it from 14 to 1, it tells a story of Kendrick growing up without his father, and that eventually leads to death, because on track 1, for those who know, hip-hop heads out there know, that track ends with a gunshot. And then it goes into this whole dramatic storytelling moment, track by track. It's amazing. And to be honest with you, who tipped me off to that whole thing was actually former engineer Isaac Constance, who's also a hip-hop head. And just diving into that album, track for track, lyric for lyric, I am still learning things that I previously did not know about that album every time I listen to it. And again, it's up in the 50s now, Mike. So for me, this was, and this will go down when years down the line, when people look back at this album, people will look back at Damn, and I think will say this is the greatest hip-hop album of all time for many, many reasons. I could do a whole show on it, as you see. I'm going on a rant right now, but I think it was well-deserved. However, I will say it's a bit shocking that it took until 2018 for the first winner of a Pulitzer not to be in the jazz or classical genre to be awarded. Yeah. That's crazy to me. That's crazy to me because there have been many legendary artists who have put out works of art. You know, legends like Prince, Michael Jackson, you know, Stevie Wonder. I go on and on and on. I'm surprised that Kendrick is the first.
Even Miles Davis in the jazz category alone, man.
Exactly. Miles, John Coltrane, Thelonious Monk. I mean, I could go on and on and on. So, yeah. Amazing, though. Kendrick deserves it, though. A legendary piece of work. Art, I should say.
Man. What do you think about Anthony Davis, man, playing for New Orleans,
amazing.
Man?
Isn't he amazing right now?
He is amazing, man.
What do you think of Anthony Davis? I mean, watching New Orleans right now just make slight work of the Portland Trailblazers, that's pretty shocking, right? They're up 3-0.
You're right. You're right. If New Orleans even think about trading him, man, they should shut the whole franchise down, man. He's a beast, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just looking at that. I said, this dude, man, he was the first pick in the first round of the first. He was the first pick, right, in the NBA draft?
Yeah. Yep, he was. Yep. First overall.
Do you think a player played that well, you think they still underpaid?
Well, you look at the contracts in the NBA right now, and I'm not sure. I don't have Anthony Davis' contract in front of me, but he deserves max money. I mean, he's that kind of player. I mean, when you look at the NBA, I think Anthony Davis may be at the top of the list right now. If you could choose one player who's young and that you could build around to lead you to a possible dynasty and a championship, granted that you put the right pieces around that player, Anthony Davis may be number one on my list. He is dynamic. He's a stretch forward. He really has no weakness on both sides of the basketball. He's freakishly athletic. He's got a pure jump shot. I mean, did you see that alley-oop, that playoff Rondo? I'm dubbing him playoff Rondo like many people are right now because we did not see this Rajon Rondo during the regular season. But that alley-oop that he threw to AD where he's like, he was like, I don't know, like 7 feet away from the bucket and just kind of glides in the air for a reverse dunk. I mean, just remarkable. So Anthony Davis, 28 points, 11 rebounds. He's been fantastic.
The way you said that,
you chuckled there, huh? You like Anthony Davis is amazing, Mike.
I have to laugh at that, man. But that was really great the way you explained it, man. It really was, man. I tell you what, you know, before I let you go on and wrap up your show,
yeah.
You know, the girl from Me Too was here Lansing yesterday.
Who from Me Too? What do you mean?
Who really started the Me Too movement?
Who is that?
Her name is Tawana Bradley, right?
I have no idea.
Anyway,
you're educating me right now, Mike.
She started the movement. She started the movement where all these actresses and everything said they're going to help the people out who being abused and everything. But she was in East Lansing yesterday. I said, man, I'm going to listen to your radio station and just see who, if they give an interview or they talk about it or whatever, because I'm fascinated with it. And here's one more thing before I let you go.
All right.
I don't know if you heard of this movie, Come Sunday.
I have. I was very close to watching it over the weekend, actually, with the fam, man, on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen the trailer. I've heard great things about it. I'm going to check it out probably sometime this weekend, Mike, and get back with you.
Watch that actor who played Carlton Pearson. I'm really going to call in and ask you what your opinion of him is.
We'll review it on Monday, Mike. That sound good?
All right, that'll sound good.
All right, thank you, Mike.
I'll let you get on with the other show, with the rest of your show.
Thank you, Mike. Mike from Saginaw, always bringing a little bit of sports and a whole lot of bit pop culture. Ian, you listened to Cole's album last night. We were texting back and forth about it last night when I was at the gym. Real briefly, before we get to Sergeant Jason Fuller to talk about the Battlefield Brawl on Sunday, initial thoughts?
I thought it was, you know, classic J. Cole, as far as the fact that he was angry for once, as opposed to For Your Eyes Only.
I think he's been angry in the past. When we went after Lil Yachty, who I also think on that 1985 track to finish out the album, I think that's a direct shot at Lil Yachty. I think it is, man. He's gone at Lil Yachty numerous times before. He went at Wale on what was the track? He had the beat from Joey Badass. I forget the name of the track. But yeah, J. Cole's always, he never backed down from a challenge.
No, that's fair. I'm just saying with For Your Eyes Only, it was much more mellow and much more kind of introverted. And I feel like he took a lot of the criticism from social media and used that to kind of fuel his rap drive there. And it sounded much more, pumped up and energetic than this than the last album that we heard from him.
Dig it. I would agree with that as far as the mood goes. So, all right, I'll have more thoughts in just a moment for Reflection Friday. But I want to get to Sergeant Jason Fuller because there's a big event happening here locally in Lansing. We've been getting you primed and ready for it throughout these last few weeks and more than a month now here on WKAR's Current Sports. But the Battlefield Brawl 9 charity flag football tournament will take place this Sunday starting around 10 a.m. And now we have a rep, Jason Fuller, our dear friend of Current Sports, to talk about that event for one final time here on our airwaves. Jason, how you doing?
Doing great, brother. Doing great. Just actually got done hitting the 9 holes. So
I am jealous. You just wanted to rub that in, didn't you? You just wanted to just stuff it right in my face as I'm sitting here with no windows
over,
in the studio.
So I did pretty good. Shot 7 over.
Wow, that's not. I don't want to play you, man. You may embarrass me out in the golf course. I'm not sure I want to play Jason. But Jason, tell our listeners for one last time, man, because the weekend is just hours away now. The Battlefield Brawl on Sunday.
Yeah, it's crazy that it's been going on for 9 years now. I've been a part of 6 or 7 of them. So, but yes, it is Battlefield Brawl 9, hosted by none other than Michigan State great running back Todd T.J. Duckett and Justin Kane. Justin actually was a 12-year-old brain cancer survivor, and he wanted to do something bigger and better because he wasn't able to play contact sports as a child. And so he hooked up with T.J. through some of his philanthropic adventures, and they came up with the Battlefield Brawl. And it's been going. This is our 9th year. It's just insane as how big it's actually got. We got teams coming from all over the state. And unfortunately, you're not on my team this year, so if I have to play you, I might have to take a 15-yard penalty. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, you don't want these problems, Jason. I've been hitting the weight room. This ain't the scraggly owl that you saw in the last 5 years I've been playing, all right? Bring it.
Right.
Bring it, Jason. All right?
So,
Did you guys hold the draft already?
The draft was last night, actually. I don't know exactly who you were drafted by.
Okay.
But my team picked it up. R.J. Williamson, Ross Weaver, mm-hmm. and then some other guy that I haven't heard of, Kurt Davis. I think he might have been a wide receiver out in Montana or something like that.
But, right.
So, yeah, it looks, I got one of the original no-fly zone guys.
You do.
Ross Weaver on my team. So.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you what. Is there any way I can look at those draft results, Jason?
I don't know if they posted them yet on the New World Flood thing, but I know we'll have stuff for Saturday out there for the pre-party that you'll be at.
Definitely. Because I want to look at the competition and get my mind
right.
Because
definitely.
Whoever I'm going against.
I do have the schedule, but I don't know what team you're on, but I can send you a copy of the schedule.
All right, because whoever I'm going against, they will feel my wrath.
Right,
come
definitely.
Sunday.
Hey, I can't
all right.
Wait to see it, brother.
Jason, you are the best, man. Again, the Battlefield Brawl 9 taking place Sunday morning. And even if you're not playing, even if you just want to go out and enjoy being outdoors, it's going to be a great weekend.
Come out and just meet the Spartan greats.
Right.
They're all willing to sign autographs and talk to people while they're not playing.
Right.
And it's just an amazing time. I mean, we've even, one time Coach Izzo came out.
Yep.
You know, just it was odd, you know, had Timmy Bogues out there, had Austin Thornton out there, had DT out there. So it's been great.
It's a great event. Again, even if you're not playing, as you just heard from Jason, come out, get some stuff signed, mingle with some Spartan legends and just have a good time. Eat a little bit, chill out, get outdoors, because I know you all have been waiting on a weekend like this here in mid-Michigan. This is the perfect event to go to. Jason, thank you so much.
From the weather report, it looks like we are going to be anywhere between 60 and 65 degrees. So it's going to be a gorgeous day for some football in the spring.
Amazing. Ian, whip out your shorts. Now you can whip out your shorts, man.
Finally, man.
Exactly. So, well, hey, brother, you have a great evening. We will see you tomorrow night and be ready for the brawl on Saturday.
You got it. Thank you so much, Jason.
Easy, brother.
Appreciate it. Yeah, it's always a fun event, you know, and it just gets bigger and better every single year. And, I'm looking forward to playing in it. I feel probably the most in shape that I have been in leading up to this weekend. But it's a fun event, man. It's flag football. It's just, and it's also a cool way for those who didn't cut the mustard and didn't get a chance to play in college or professionally, to kind of see how you match up at, you know, when it comes to just athletic wise to some of the best who've ever done it. And many people have fallen. I think I hold my own. I think every single year it's a fun event. All right. Well, we have 5 minutes left. Ian, let's hit them with Reflection Friday. All right, I first want to talk about the Detroit Lions schedule as we have just 4 minutes left here in the hour. Real quick, week one, the Detroit Lions will open up against the New York Jets on September 10th at 7:10 p.m. That will be a Monday night football game. But when you look at the schedule, Ian, I don't know if you perused it a bit. I don't know how we're making these hard conclusions. It's a waste of time. It just feeds the monster that is the NFL. The NFL proves with this event every single year that it does not matter what they're talking about. We're just talking about a schedule release, just a schedule. NFL fans will eat it up and lose their minds. It's amazing to me. Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, at this point in the year, like you say, we're still 6 days away from the NFL draft. We don't even know what most of these teams' final rosters are going to look like as far as the players that they're going to pick up in the next few days. So
right.
It'll be interesting to see what the Lions can do this season, but I'm not making any hard conclusions just yet.
ESPN is predicting a 9-7 Detroit Lions record, and they say that the Detroit Lions have the second toughest schedule in the NFL, only second to the Green Bay Packers. And again, we're basing this off of records from last year. So take that with about 100 truckloads of salt, all right? It means nothing, absolutely nothing. I'll elaborate more on the Detroit Lions schedule come Monday, and we'll be talking a lot of NFL draft next week. We'll have our annual mock draft here on Current Sports. It's going to be a fun week next week. For me, just a quick reflection. Keep a lookout for my chat with Reginald Hardwick as we dove into Kendrick Lamar winning a Pulitzer. That should be posted on our website very, very soon. But you know, it's funny because I mentioned J. Cole on yesterday's chat with Reg and Professor Gilmore, and Cole dropped his latest album at midnight, and I absolutely love it. The cover, it's got these three different meanings. It's entitled KOD, and KOD means three different things, and the three meanings really dive into just about everything that he touches on the album. And I think, you know, the KOD means, 30 seconds left here, Ian, kids on drugs, king overdosed, and Kill Our Demons. It is an album with a premise on addictions in life. It is amazing, and I'm still trying to digest it, an album that is that lyrically heavy. I'm still trying to digest it. It's probably going to take me a few weeks here, but check it out. It's amazing, and shout out to J. Cole. Until we meet again, folks, we'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend. Enjoy that weather, and as always, be easy, people.